Jason Mackey going to join us on the Fan Hotline in a couple of moments, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 40 ounces the Stanley Cup can hold. So that's like 2.5 pints of beer or 3 12-ounce beers and then a little change. Probably tastes pretty good coming out of that bad boy.
Not bad.
Can you imagine shaving your Stanley Cup playoff beard after losing Game 7? Just looking in the mirror thinking, I grew this out for weeks, for months. My wife, my significant other probably all ticked off because I look like Grizzly Adams, mm-hmm. and we didn't even win jack crap. That's got to be a painful shave, Doran.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough.
Real painful shave.
It's tough. Not as painful as, like, now you shaving your head, but.
That's true. I can empathize with these Edmonton Oilers that have to shave after losing. I'm used to losing.
What do you think the weirdest liquid has been poured into the Stanley Cup? What did you say, 40 ounces?
You know what would be like, weird? 40 ounces of Jaeger.
I was thinking, like, maybe somebody poured, like, 40 ounces of wine, red wine.
Oh, that hangover.
Right.
I feel like I could drink...
Milk.
I guarantee there's been Cheerios.
For sure.
Up in that thing.
For sure.
Also probably been some naked booties up in the Stanley Cup.
That thing's very nasty.
That thing has seen some stuff, no doubt about it. By the way, I was talking about flying back to Edmonton and celebrating in that long flight. I don't know what happened to my brain. Edmonton lost the Stanley Cup. They fly home. They're not partying at all. They might be drinking in their sorrows, but I'm good for one brain fart at least a day. And that was a big one. So thanks to all the texters for saying you're an idiot. I am absolutely 100% an idiot. All right. Jason Mackey, decidedly not an idiot. He joins us right now. And we started the show today, Mackey, asking the question, are the Bucks right now in the danger zone? David Bednar on IL. Nobody save for like three dudes can hit. Real quick, they're 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, 8.5 back in the division. Is this danger zone territory, Mackey?
I worry about their pitching depth, Adam. There's been a lot of fuss, and I understand why, over the past few days about their lineup and ability to score runs. If Bailey falters, I hate to say it that way, and then Martin Perez isn't what he was in April, like, you've got a three-man rotation and then a bullpen that, as you said, is weak because of the loss of David Bednar and some other injuries. Like, that's just, it's not great right now, and things are going to separate, and I hope for the Pirates' sake that they're on the positive side of that. And yeah, I mean, it could be just a little blip, but I do worry when it comes to pitching depth.
Jason, after you were speaking to Nutting, who has more pressure coming from ownership, Charrington or Shelton?
I think Charrington. I do, because, I mean, Derek Shelton can only play the players that he's given. Like, with that uproar over the Sunday lineup, quote-unquote, you know, the day he sits Kutch, day he sits, who was it, Connor
Nick Jones? Gonzalez.
Yeah, like, you know, Joe has not been very good in June. Gonzalez is in a slump. Kutch is 37. Like, to me, the issue is not having a better roster to begin with, that you're even talking about sitting those guys. And, you know, to me, I took those comments from Bob kicking his GM in the pants, wanting to see something. You know, he said as much. He wanted to see the offense improve. He feels like they can make the playoffs as currently constituted. I'm not sure he's wrong, but, I mean, Shelton can only manage the guys that he's given. I didn't take from Bob's comments to us that he was, you know, hugely unhappy with the manager or the manager's performance. I thought he was somewhat unhappy, or at least thought there could be more when it comes to the roster construction.
I did think it was telling that unprompted he brought up the struggles of the offense, though, Jason.
Oh, I agree. You know, that was my question, asking him about the goals for this season being the playoffs, and he all of a sudden brings up we need more offense, which I see how he's connecting A to B. Like, that's a completely fair criticism, but yeah, I mean, that's one thing, but I guess he could have described their hitting program and being unhappy with it, but it seemed like he went more the direction of fixing the offense as in terms of adding. You know, he talked about internal improvements. I think that's bigger than Andy Haynes. I think that's more of a player development thing. But, you know, his comments on doing something, external addition, striking early, to me resonated the most.
Jason, do you think that Ernell Cruz is as engaged as he needs to be? Do you think that he's in it every single game? Do you think he's focused every single game?
I do. I don't think it's a focus problem with him. Well, I shouldn't say that, Dorn. I mean, maybe there's focus. I'm not questioning the effort. Sometimes I'm questioning the, how do I put this?
Baseball acumen?
Yeah, and just, like, he's a very emotional guy. And I think that's really good. I love that. I love his personality. But I think sometimes if things don't go his way, he gets in his own head a little bit. And I think that, you know, if the Pirates are down a couple, he doesn't really think about, we need to scratch and claw our way back. I think he thinks, I'm going to hit a 575-foot home run and everything's going to be fine. Like, I think it's coming from a good place. I think it's just a matter of, I don't know, baseball maturity might be the right way to put it. I mean, I think there's certainly some maturity with the fundamentals of the game. I'm not defending that or pretending that it doesn't exist. Like, he's not a very good base runner. There's some things, some nuance to the game that he does not have a great grasp of. But I think he just, you know, kind of lets his emotions get the best of him, where he's trying to do a little bit too much, or maybe he spaces out if things don't go terribly well, where other players, maybe players who are a little bit more mature, they can move past that stuff.
Has he been good enough?
Yeah, I think he has. Has he been as good as he can be? No. But I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and criticize a guy who's played a little over 162 games for hitting like upper 20s home run totals, driving in, you know, around 90 runs. Like, good enough, yeah. Do I think this is going to be the same player we see in 3 years? No, absolutely not. He's got all the ability in the world. I think he's going to get to it. But, you know, I think the Pirates, with what their offense is right now, what they need from him, I mean, they need him to be an elite player. And he's kind of growing into that.
It's crazy that this team has to rely on a 37-year-old and Andrew McCutchen. And obviously, yeah, Brian Reynolds has been fantastic. But, I mean, those are the two guys. And then if you throw an O'Neill Cruz in there, I mean, those are the three guys that they have. Like, if they do make a move at the deadline or before the deadline and say it's two players, do you think that that's enough for this team to actually compete? Like, really deep down, like, if they add a bat and they add a reliever, like, is that enough?
I don't know. I don't know, Dor. When they're going well, yeah, I think so, but they haven't been going well enough. And what I mean by that is, like, if you add those guys on top of Ke'Bryan Hayes producing the way he's capable, if you add those guys on top of the good version of Nick Gonzalez, if you add those guys on top of getting something out of Rowdy Tellez, yeah. And I mean, I think those things are within the Pirates' control, but the way things are going right now, like a bat and a reliever on top of what we've seen over the past week or so, no. I don't. You know, and I do keep in the back of my mind, I certainly don't want to see this, but, you know, Kutch is 37. Do you expect this level of production the entire year? I mean, that would be great. I think it's certainly reasonable, but I think you need to be realistic too. And, you know, behind the plate, they haven't gotten enough. Their outfielders other than Brian Reynolds haven't contributed enough. They haven't spent free agent dollars this offseason wisely. We've seen more poor performance from Rowdy Tellez than positive performance. I mean, those are just objective truths. So, yeah, I think they can have enough. I don't think you're going to see them add a ton more than like a bat, a reliever, maybe a secondary bat. I mean, I'm not looking at them to, you know, have Christmas morning here on trade deadline day. They're going to need their own guys to produce.
Will they give up at least one top 10 prospect?
I mean, I think they're willing to do that. I've had this discussion with people, Adam. It's gotten out there, and I'm not sure why, that they're like unwilling to trade a top 10 prospect.
Top five?
I don't think they're unwilling to do that.
Termar Johnson?
Don't. Maybe. It depends on the deal. What are you trying to pin me down to say?
I'm just wondering, because I was going to do a rapid fire thing with you and you sort of answered it even before I could get there, because you said, I don't think they're going to go out there and basically get a big name or anything like that. I'm just wondering how far they are willing to go. And you're right, it does have to be the right deal, but I just wonder if there are any untouchables in the organization that aren't MLB players.
No, I don't think so. that aren't MLB players, no. I think anybody in their current pipeline top 10, like, they'll talk about that they would make a deal for if it's the right deal. I don't think they operate like that. But yeah, a lot of baseball trades. I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. Like, they're you have to be getting something if you're going to be giving up multiple of those guys. And if it's Luis Robert Jr., like, that was something I had some fun with on Twitter yesterday. Like, yeah, for the right deal, I think they would give up top 10 prospects for that. For a middling bat who only comes with, you know, a couple months of control and is veteran guy with a high salary, they're probably not going to give up a top 10 bat for that. But, you know, I think one of the things that Nutting said that I've been thinking about more, and it's not really a sexy topic, but it's sort, he said, like, you know, it's now and in the future. And that's always the way the Pirates operate. Like, they want a rental, but they'd like a rental with years of control. So it's not a true rental. So for the right guy, they might have to give up a top 10 prospect to get a guy that they're going to have for a couple years.
Yeah. Jason, this was really good, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wait, real quick. Should Connor McDavid have won a Conn Smythe?
No, I don't like that. I was watching that last. I was not a fan. I thought it should have been him.
The goalie from Florida. There you go, Doran.
Bob.
It's got to be on the winning team, right?
I'm with you. And if not, then at least do something in six or seven.
Right, the last two games, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Jason Mackey, columnist, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. A lot to react to there from Jason. I did want to ask you, because this sort of just popped into my head. You played with Brady. If Brady lost the Super Bowl and they gave him the Super Bowl MVP, does he pee on the thing? Like,
he leaves it right there.
Yeah.
Leaves it right there.
I can't imagine Crosby wanting it.
There's no way he would accept it.
Yeah.
There's no way. Now, LeBron probably would.
Why?
Different competitors.
And he had been disrespected for a long while. You can't win with LeBron. Like, look at all these finals he lost. I could see that.
Brady would be like, there's no way they could get him out of the locker room to accept that award.
I don't think it is for a second a bit of relief for Connor McDavid that he won that award.
He probably is pissed about it too.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking at that thing like, where am I going to put this? Am I going to give this to my kids?
Yeah.
Here, my kids can go play with it.
Imagine if he came out and lifted it up.
Oh my God.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. He didn't, though. And good for him to not do that.
He's definitely upset about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of useless.
Look at all these stats I put. Like, you think Paul Skeens?
No way.
No chance.
No way.
If Paul Skeens fans 20 in a World Series game and they lose 1-0, which actually does seem fairly feasible if they would make it, like, he ain't happy about that. No chance. All right, we've had a lot of fun with that this morning. It is 8:14, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. So a little insight there from Mackey on how the Buccos are viewing this deadline. And also, he had a different answer than at least I did about who Bob Nutting put the pressure on. We'll react to that when we come back. Ryan Clark had some interesting comments we'll get to at the bottom of the hour. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Thanks to Jason Mackey for joining us in the last segment. We'll react to some of what he had to say in a moment, but coming up in about 15 minutes from now, Brandon Ayuk met with the 49ers yesterday. Do we have anything to glean from that? We'll hear from one guy with the inside information. All right, now back to Mackey. He said that Nutting put the pressure on Ben Cherington. I kind of heard it as the pressure was on Derek Shelton because they're not hitting, and you need internal improvement, which would mean that you've got guys that you think are better than they're performing, which means that Ben Cherington, in Nutting's mind, maybe acquired some of the right guys. At least that's where my mind went.
Well, initially I thought it was more at Cherington. Like, okay, we need to get guys, and the guys that we have aren't performing that you got. And
that's a fair way of looking at it, too.
Yeah, and we need those guys to start performing that are here because you went out and got these guys. Like, we talked about Santana. Like, why didn't we go get Santana? I was willing to maybe shovel out extra $2 million for you to go get Santana, a guy that I'm very familiar with. I'm talking in Nutting's perspective. A guy that I'm very familiar with, but you went and got Telez, and he's not performing. He better start performing, or...
else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oliveris.
I can see it both ways. You can make the argument neither one of those guys have done 50-50. Their job.
Yeah. It's 50-50. I mean, they're hand in hand.
I know that the owner takes a lot of flack around here, and a lot of it is deserved. But he did allow Charrington to spend that $35 million, and that's not a lot of money. It's not. But it could have been money better spent. Oh! Uh-oh! You can fade it down just a smidge here, Callis. Little Kenny Loggins, Doran. Danger zone. Buccos 2.5 back in the wild card race. St. Louis quickly now above 500. The Pirates 4 games below and 8.5 back of the Brewers in the NL Central. I think it's danger zone time. You got 5 more road games before you come back home. 3 of them are against the Braves. Mm. Oh, my God. And so the reason I bring that up now in the middle of this conversation is, A, I like the song. B, we were talking about the team needing to get hot to force Ben Charrington's hand. It feels like they're bordering on being the opposite of hot.
Yep.
I think that also forces Charrington's hand. You still have Skeens. You still have Jones. You still have Keller. You're going to get Bednar back. You feel like the back end of your bullpen's okay. Get a guy now! Do something now! Because if not, I could see this thing going to where, man, I'm not going to be back for 2 weeks. And I am afraid, yes, it'll be around Steelers training camp time, but I'm afraid I'm going to come back in 2 weeks, Dorn, and I'm going to be like, hey, what have you been talking about? Oh, the Pirates suck. The Pirates are out of it. The Pirates are 6 games out of the wild card race. Stop the bleeding. Put the tourniquet on. Don't let this thing spiral out of control. It doesn't even need to be a big bat. Just get an upgrade. You can't tell me there's not an upgrade out there where you don't have to sell the farm on. You can't tell me that.
Mm.
I know there's not a lot of sellers out there. But can you give up a top 10 prospect, like your 8th, 9th, or 10th best prospect, for a decent upgrade that's got a couple of years of control? Not even a great player, but just someone that you could put into the lineup that's a red-blooded American who's going to give you a professional at-bat.
That's what you want, to give up and give up a prospect for that? And we'll be sitting here talking about the same things all the time. We expected them to do something, they did something, just in spite of doing it.
You're right, that does sound like doing something just to do it. I'm talking now. Like, if the prices for the big-time players right now are way too expensive, get something now, and then if you're circling around a big fish and you don't think that's possible until closer to the deadline, do that then too. But I need someone in my lineup besides Cruz, Reynolds, or Kutch. Because Nick Gonzalez was the truth, and now he's won for his last 25, Nicholas.
I'm not giving up a upper prospect for somebody that's just good. Red-blooded American. Oh,
but
Callis. I'm not doing that. I want somebody who's
yes,
great.
But you're going to need a little of both. Like, you can get a star, and I still think you'll need more than that. Like, if they went out and got Luis Robert Jr. and put a 30-homer guy in the middle of this lineup, that changes an awful lot. I don't think it fixes everything. And so I'd be willing to give up my 10th rated prospect for a couple of years of control, like a 750 OPS guy. Sure, I would.
After I got Robert Jr., though.
Well, whichever comes first. Like, if you could swing a deal for Luis Robert Jr. today and you got to pay an extra prospect than what you're comfortable with, I don't care. Do it.
Isn't he not doing that good this year, though?
He's not been great this year. He hit 38 homers last year, though, and he was banged up this season.
What would you be able to command, like, if you are...
Well, apparently they're looking for a Juan Soto-type return, which is too rich for my blood.
How could you command that going based off of last year?
I think it's because of the demand. There's a lot of demand, not a lot of supply. So if you're the White Sox, if I'm the White Sox, I probably would hold him until the deadline.
Yeah, get the best.
Yeah. Which is why I'd be willing to give up a top 10, lower 10 prospect to get somebody in here. Get me something. You have one outfielder, Brian Reynolds. That's it. Michael A. Taylor stinks. Edward Oliveris stinks. Jack Suwinski is lower than stink. Your first baseman who had figured it out has gone back to not figuring it out. He stinks. Your second baseman's not hitting right now. Jared Triolo's fifth on the team in at-bats. He sucks. The catchers, all of them, put him in a hat and beat him with a hammer. Whichever one you hit on the head deserves it. They all stink. So if you can find an upgrade at any of those positions now, do it, because They scored 5 runs last night, and it felt like something worth celebrating despite the loss.
Luis Robert hasn't been over 200 all year.
Yeah. But I still want him because it's not just about this year. That's the one thing Mackey did say that I disagree with, though. They're like, it's this window, and Bob Nutting talked about this window. The window is now. So I do think Luis Robert would, he'd be an upgrade even if he was struggling over Sawinski and Michael A. Taylor. But it would be as much about that as the next few years, but you'd also have him for this year.
I think it's not easy to play for the White Sox this season either.
Good point by you.
Okay, but he comes here, and we just had this conversation that players come here, and then they just forget how to hit.
Are they going to fix him?
Are they going to fix him? Is he going to all of a sudden find it here?
You know what?
He's at 198.
You know what, then? It's better than Jack Sawinski, better than Michael A. Taylor.
You have to pay a lot more.
Yes, you do, but I don't care. It ain't my money. The one thing they can do right now for sure, like no doubt, is fire Andy Haynes. Like, as we acknowledge that it is danger zone time, that this thing could be slipping away right in front of our very eyes, you had 3 guys who are hitting. I don't think firing Andy Haynes is going to make those guys stop hitting, but hey, it might kick a Rowdy Tellez in the backside, who has hit 35 homers before, or Michael A. Taylor, who did hit 21 last year, or Jack Sawinski, who hit 26 last year.
So do you think like the philosophy would change if you fire the hitting coach in the middle of the year?
Or
do you just go away with everything and just go out and play baseball? Like, I don't know how that goes down.
I'm honestly saying this, and I mean it 100%. It's not going to be worse.
Yeah, you're right.
like, uh-oh, fire Matt Canada. Oh, who's going to call the plays?
Say it like that.
I don't know why I said it like that. Like Mickey Mouse.
It did sound like Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse! Fire Andy Haynes! Fire Matt Canada! Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Did Connor McDavid deserve to win the Conn Smythe Trophy? We'll give you the results later on in the show of that Twitter poll. A former Steeler, Ryan Clark, big time now on ESPN. He reported yesterday that Brandon Ayuk met with the 49ers. There was another nugget in there. Because the meeting with the Niners, that makes me think, oh, he's dissatisfied. The other nugget, though, makes me think he might not be coming to Pittsburgh. We'll let you hear it. You can make your own conclusions.
They're actually meeting with the San Francisco 49ers today. He and his representation, Ryan Williams of Athletes First, you know, and Brandon Ayuk told us that he wanted to set this meeting up himself. And when he was sitting with the Pivot, he said that he's taking these negotiations personal, that the way that they have negotiated with him, the way that they have told him why he's worth what he's worth, it has touched him. It has affected him. He says he wants to be in San Francisco first, but is comfortable playing elsewhere if that's something that the San Francisco 49ers are willing to do via trade. And I will tell you this, when he sat with us, he did not walk into the room alone. First, it was Brandon Ayuk. Second, it was Jaden Daniels. I'm not a tea leaf reader, but the way that sounds is that Brandon Ayuk wouldn't mind playing in Washington.
How about that?
Wait, what did he walked into what room with Jaden Daniels?
When he went on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark.
Jaden Daniels came with him?
He went with Jaden Daniels, yeah.
Yeah, they're like best friends.
First time I heard that, I thought the same thing you did. Right. Like, Jaden Daniels there talking contract negotiations?
In San Francisco.
Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Isn't it nuts? Like, Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman at LSU, but he and Brandon Ayuk are tight from Arizona State days.
That's right.
That's kind of goofy to me.
I was trying to
me.
Put it together. That is right. Yeah.
I liked Brandon Ayuk when he was coming out. Like, I remember watching his YouTube cut-ups.
I don't remember him at all.
He was thick. Good route runner. I mean, same stuff he does in the NFL.
Thick.
Thick, that guy. He was thick, Doran.
Oh.
Some statistics for one, Brandon Ayuk, who, you know, a lot of people have texted us and said, why do you want to spend $30 million on Brandon Ayuk? Because Brandon Ayuk's not even a wide receiver number one. This from Warren Sharp of Sharp Football, the analytics guy. So bear with me here. I don't want your eyes to all glaze over. I'm talking to the listeners, not you, Doran. But the 49ers, since they traded for Christian McCaffrey, have thrown the ball at the number 32 rate in the NFL. They only pass the ball on 51.8 of their offensive snaps. They've called only 1,600 offensive snaps. That's 28th in the NFL. Meanwhile, Justin Jefferson, number 2 pass rate at 66%. So 15% more, math, percent of the time, Minnesota's throwing the ball. They're 4th in offensive snaps. So more total snaps, more percent of those snaps throwing the ball. Justin Jefferson, a better player, no doubt, but the reason why his statistics are so much overwhelmingly better than Ayuk's is because they don't throw the ball and they don't wind up calling a lot of offensive plays.
And they don't have Christian McCaffrey.
They don't have Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, it makes sense. Minnesota's doing what they're doing. It makes sense the 49ers are doing what they're doing. And then when they do throw the ball, they've also got a great tight end. And
George Kittle.
George, why do I always forget George Kittle's name? I don't know that.
Skittle.
Yeah. Every time I forget that guy's name. I don't know why that happens. Big mental block there with Skittle. And then you got Deebo Samuel on the other side. So when people statistically point out, well, Brandon Ayuk's numbers aren't all that good, well, there's reasons why. When you look at some of the further analytics in terms of getting open and yards per route run, things of that nature, Brandon Ayuk always near the top of the list. So I happen to think he's worth it if the Steelers would give up a first or second round pick and pay him upwards of $30 million. But just hearing Ryan Clark talk there, and because he's buddies with Jaden Daniels, I think if he has a say in where he goes, and he ultimately would because they'd let him negotiate the contract beforehand, I think he would pick going and hanging out with his buddy before coming here to Pittsburgh.
There's no doubt. No doubt about it. No doubt. And then that makes that team absolutely ridiculously dangerous with McLaurin and...
Oh!
Yeah.
Or would it make McLaurin expendable?
Maybe.
Which could then fall into the Steelers' lap.
But as a rookie quarterback...
I want both.
Yeah, you want to give your rookie quarterback as many weapons as possible.
Washington, now without the stink of Dan Snyder, I'd be far more inclined to want to go there if I was a player.
You're right.
And I understand that Mike Tomlin is well-respected, and the Steelers organization is, if nothing else, stable, and you know you're going to be, quote-unquote, in the hunt. If I were Brandon Ayuk, I would rather want to go to Washington.
If I got to play with like Bill Stahl, Bostic, or Palko in the league and I had a choice, I'm going to go play with them over anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I get that.
100%.
Plus, you know, like they're going to give him – it's not going to be the Kenny Pickett thing. They're going to give him 3-4 years. They're going to give him his rookie contract to figure it out.
Yeah.
If I'm Brandon Ayuk and I come to Pittsburgh, is my quarterback Russell Wilson for more than a year? Is it Justin Fields? Is it a rookie? Is it Dak Prescott? I don't know who my quarterback's going to be. Now, money's money, but I think I would... I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I would rather, if I'm him, want to go to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And playing with your friends is fun.
It's a lot of fun.
And it tends to work out, too.
It has been.
You think about Tua. You think about Jalen Hurts.
You think about Trevor Lawrence and ETN.
Mm-hmm. You think about Ja'Marr Chase
and
Joe Burrow.
Is there any other ones?
I don't know. I think we rifled through four of them pretty quickly there. Mason Rudolph and James Washington.
That worked out well.
In the preseason, those guys were unstoppable together.
Really well.
But I would think, too, if I'm Washington, I want a great receiver to bring in. I don't know what their cap situation's like or anything like that. I haven't done a deep dive into the Washington football team or the Commanders, whatever the heck they are these days. But I would really want to do that from their standpoint. Like, you've told me before how hard it is to be a rookie. Like, where am I living? Who am I living with? Like, where do I shop for groceries? Like, someone give me the lowdown of Houston, Texas, please. And now you'd have Brandon Ayuk to help you along with that transition. Tell me, you got a face.
And their offensive coordinator. You know who it is?
I do not remember.
Very enticing. Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, my God.
Yep. That's very enticing. Very enticing.
I think Cliff's a good OC.
OC, yes.
Yeah.
And college coach.
Whatever happened to what's his face?
The enemy.
Yeah.
He's gone. Oh, no, he's UCLA.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Nobody wanted him in the NFL.
Man. He was getting ripped a little bit in training camp. I thought he went to Arizona State, but I might be doing an Arizona State thing because of Jaden Daniels and because of Brandon Ayuk.
Yes, he's the associate head coach and offense coordinator for the UCLA Bruins.
Wild stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up next, top 20 running backs in the NFL as ranked by CBSSports.com. There is one Steeler on the list. We'll tell you who that is when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In 10 minutes or so, Mount Rushmore season, baby. There was a Steelers Mount Rushmore that was posted on the interwebs, and we react to it. We come up with our own. It's never been done before in the history of sports talk radio. Before we do get to that, the Washington Commanders have $37 million in cap space.
Mm.
So I would think they should be the betting favorite for Brandon Ayuk if the 49ers don't come to the terms on some sort of agreement. Seems like they were pretty far apart, though. They were offering him $26 million, and he's going to want more than that.
Yeah, it's like 30.
Yeah.
$4
million. I mean, that's the going rate when you think about Waddle, who got, what, 90 over 3 years? A three-year deal for $90 million. I don't know why you wouldn't do it if you're Washington. Rookie quarterback, Terry McLaurin, those two guys on the outside.
Yeah.
They could win this year.
Right.
Because you told me you like their GM, and you really like Dan Quinn.
Yes. And then Cliff Kingsbury. I think they have a good DC, too. Who's their D coordinator? I mean, their D coordinator is the head coach, but, you know, they're really set up to have a decent year this year.
I would go there before I went to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And I think that that makes a ton of sense for all the reasons we've laid out. If you're the Steelers, then you got to pivot. I mean, you got to go start looking back at Cortland Sutton again, or guys of that ilk. And you're not going to have to pay Cortland Sutton $30 million, and he's not the player I don't think Brandon Ayuk is, but at least he had the chemistry with Russell Wilson. I just can't see them going into the season with Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins and Scotty Miller and
Roman Wilson. They might have to.
You got to find a trade partner. You're right about that. Like, you can't say we need a wide receiver and one grows on the wide receiver tree. Like, you need to have a team that's willing to move on. You know, DK Metcalf was a guy that we had talked about before, post June 1st. Well, now it's June 25th, and nothing has happened there. I know that Seattle's up against the salary cap, and so they've got some decisions to make. I have no doubt that Omar is scouring the phones because he has a proven track record now in a couple of years, that if he can improve the team, he's going to improve the team. But, yeah, you got to find a dance partner. And if I'm Denver, I don't know that I would want to lose Cortland Sutton at this point in my offseason either. I'd settle for that. I think Brandon Ayuk takes the Steelers from a division wannabe to a division championship caliber team. If it's Cortland Sutton, I won't go that far. I think it might help cement them as a playoff team, but I think Ayuk is a cut above. You agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. When we come back, we'll get to that list that CBS Sports put out of the top 20 running backs in the NFL, and there is a surprising name, I think, left. There's a surprising name on the list, and there's a surprising name left off the list. We'll talk about that before we dive into some Mount Rushmore stuff. First, though, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab is up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, getting hot again, high 89.